big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello and welcome to IMP's WWE Adventures podcast on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Help the network out by leaving us a 5-star review, give a donation directly through Red Circle, and become one of the amazing community by joining the Social Suplex Discord. Link is in the description. Order merch from all our shows over at chopped-tees.com. Thank you to Dickie. Listen to the other top-notch shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style, All Things Elite, Wrestling Art with Chris Things, Trish and Sarah, Tunnel Talk, and Sam Brown's AEW Match Guide. My name is Matt Mayer, aka Imp, and this is your quick look back at the WWE week that was 30 minutes. Donde esta WWE? It's Europe week for WWE. Talking about my homeland. Does it count as my homeland if I'm European, but I'm not mainland Europe? Before I jump into stuff, I have got a quick correction from last week. Andrew Schultz may be a twat, but he's not Tony Hinchcliffe. So I said last week that WWE get into bed with the guy who'd done the Puerto Rico's trash joke at Madison Square Garden, and I have to correct myself because WWE did not get into bed with the Puerto Rico's trash guy last week. No. They did that this week. It's like, oh, okay. There's just no avoiding it. There's just no avoiding the right-wing moves WWE are making as of late. Tony Hinchcliffe has been confirmed to host a WWE roast on WrestleMania week, which has resulted in Sami Zayn catching strays for being on the show as well. Undeniable moves within a certain political direction. But I did want to correct last week. I said that Schultz was... I obviously had got him mixed up with a different comedian, but by the time I'd got to here, they'd already... WWE had already signed up to actually do something with the actual guy. So technically my statement was correct, just not about Andrew Schultz. Also in another move, just, you know, just hit the ground running on just all this positive kind of vibes of WWE. AEW aren't competition, but both All In and Forbidden Door received counter shows and programming. I'm sure it's just touring promotion coincidences over and over and over every time. It just keeps happening. It's just bad luck every time. Can't believe just every time that AEW announced a show when in advance. It's like, oh, just every time. It's just a huge coincidence that WWE just happened to book stuff. They just happened to want to do a Saturday night's main event. They just happened to do a tour of the UK. It's just a huge coincidence, I'm sure. But as for the actual content on WWE this week, we are in the middle of the build to WrestleMania. And rather than for me feeling like super excited for the show, it more feels like these are the building blocks to set things in motion for it. So Monday Night Raw was the biggest show of the week. However, I've got a format to do, and I always do smackers first. So that's where we jump over to Barcelona in Spain. 2 hours and 6 minutes on Netflix for me, on USA for the Americans. SmackDown in the sun, with the WrestleMania sign shining down brighter as we nearer to Las Vegas. So with the pre-ramble over, let's jump on over to Friday Night Smack.
The best of DIY! No meat in the middle goes south! Taz is live up top.
It's happening.
Montez Ford from the heavens. Do we have new champs? Yes!
So the real story of the show is how white hot the crowd is. Just like we saw before with the different shows in Europe, in Germany, in France, I'll count Scotland and I'll count London as well. Like every single European crowd is white hot for WWE. And we see it especially for Monday Night Raw, where they just go all out on the production as well. On Monday Night Raw, they've got the drone circling round in a much smaller arena. I said before how much I like the idea of just trying to do a bit more of a 360 production, because there's absolutely no way any competitor can ever match up with that in this current era. So I'm all for like the big production in the white hot stadium. WWE has always been the one more about spectacle compared to AEW, which is obviously all about the actual quality of the wrestling in the ring. That's not really been WWE's thing. They say they tell stories. I mean, to be fair, the past... I can at least say that about this era, that you can actually see the clear attempts to tell the stories. You can actually feel it when you're watching the show. Sometimes to its own detriment, you can actually feel the stories being told. The previous regime said they were people who told really strong stories, but it's just marketing bullshit. They were awful at it. We also used to be like, oh, we can measure you on that. But if you want me to actually measure you as a storytelling business, then you're far, far worse. Because the storytelling was even worse. But when it comes to spectacle, that's always been something WWE have been pretty good at. Even in the Kevin Dunn era, they did pretty well at creating that spectacle feeling. Even if you did feel car sick and nauseous whilst watching it because of the sheer amount of camera cuts. But anyway, so I'm in a happy place with WWE with the way that they're doing these European shows. They're a white hot crowd and they really let them breathe. The show itself, it was fine. It was fine. Spain were electric for it, so just immediately elevated it up. It wasn't like the biggest SmackDown in the world, so can get through it pretty quickly. The main event was for the WWE Tag Team Championships, DIY versus Street Profits. Still interested to see baddie versus baddie flows in WWE. The crowds aren't conditioned to cheer for either of them, but we're in Europe, so they can just sing. Ciampa got the asshole chance as he stomped on a Real Madrid fan in Barcelona, which is why the comeback from Dawkins got polite applause. Like, they're not going to cheer for either lad in this one. I said last week I'm all for conditioning the fans to expect title matches to main event. So many long-term positives from doing that. But you do get matches like this from now and then. Building blocks that make sense but don't get the loudest reception from the crowd. Even though it's good. Like, they gave time for the two teams to flow. All four lads were great. But the tag division didn't have any heat before this WrestleMania season, so it's no surprise crowds aren't super invested in the characters. That said, Montez is going to fly. DIY are going to break up pinfall in dramatic last seconds. Dawkins is gonna miss a high flying move and then hit a bigger one later. All the notes are there to get the crowd reacting by the end. Even if they're not into the characters, the action just sucked them in. You could hear it throughout the course of this match. Like I was saying with that breakup from Ciampa earlier, which just kind of got a polite applause. By the time we get to the end of this match, they are chanting this is awesome. They are really properly buying into everything they're doing. Meet in the middle went wrong. Bomb from Dawkins and Ford's high frog splash gave us a new reign in the plains of Spain. We're hurtling towards a multi-team kerfuffle. Part of me is assuming just with everybody, just do some form of big ladder match just like they did last year. I think I would prefer something more focused, like at max a four-way. But something tells me we're going to get Legado as well. So it's going to be just a whole kerfuffle of just all the lads they can get, as all the bodies in there for a ladder match. But they've done a pretty good job introducing the Yes Boys as a chaotic forces in there a bit. But they've been using Legado a bit more as well. So it just feels like we're about to get a multi-team run of madness at WrestleMania. But hey, they're fun, if not kind of forgettable at this point. There's a weird feeling around like tag team ladder matches. Even AEW kind of had that, where when the match got booked and announced for All In this last year, there was that immediate reception of, another tag team ladder match. There's a sentiment around them at the moment, and I don't know how you break that down a bit. Is there just a world where these hectic multi-man ladder matches have kind of just need to be dialed back a bit? I mean, I'm not saying WWE do a lot of them, but it feels like every big show's got to have one. Be it WWE, AEW, they're both in their stadium shows doing a big ladder match. Maybe like the big ladder matches are something that really work for a big stadium show. I don't know, I'm a bit bored, I've not looked into it. It's a random thought. Why do they keep doing them? Also, not a lot of notes on it. Like, it was an absolutely fine main event on an absolutely fine SmackDown in front of an absolutely white-hot Spanish crowd. So let's swiftly move on to the other stuff being built up. LA Knight and friends. The new United States champion was the first lad out, receiving the bouncy excitement of the Spanish. Tough crowd, huh? He jested as the Spaniards' olays echoed loudly through the arena. Of all people, Jimmy Uso was the chap out to all serious face to confront him, taking the initiative to kick off his WrestleMania road himself by challenging for the US title right here tonight in Barcelona. Interruptees Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga on out. Talked about Fatu being the lad who deserved the shot, but Solo was the one with his shirt off, and he knew wrestling rules. Jimmy inciting into Stompy Stomp, 3-on-2, Braun. Nick Aldis, police copper, like, oi oi, looks like we got a 6-man tag here, lads. LA Knight, Jimmy Uso and Braun Strowman versus the Bloodline. A European crowd that was just happy to see the wrestling, and they were cheering loudly for every single beat. Fully behind the heroes and villains in their respective roles, but yes, that also includes Jimmy Uso. That man got his name cheered loudly during a mid-match sequence. Like, chance of Jimmy Uso. I don't think I've ever heard that. A nice little note for the hot tag. Camera behind Braun as the crowd hyped for the big lads both tagging in, but Solo tagged in Tama instead and we ran into a pure Strowman hot run. Solo had the opportunity to tag in Fatu. Crowd all amped because it's Strowman coming in as well. Like, this is the WrestleMania pairing, you know it. The crowd is all drumming up, but they're all excited for it. And he goes for Tama Tonga instead, but you see it because the camera is looking over, almost doing that focus for the babyface to tag in, but you also get to see the heels in the background. Strowman choo-chooed around ringside and power slammed Tama Tonga for the win. In the aftermath, all notes as set for WrestleMania. Jimmy on the outside, LA Knight away with Solo through the crowd, then Jacob Fatu in the ring, moonsaulting over and over onto Braun. One final charge back down the ramp and right through the barricade to a groggy Strowman to end the segment. So I can't lie that the segment was efficient in setting stuff up. Like, you got three notes there, all played out really, really strongly. And the crowd was absolutely white hot, but just cheering loudly for every single beat. It gave it, for me, some kind of like a house showy type of feel, just because he's seeing a relatively standard six-man tag, but the crowd are going crazy. They are absolutely loving it. But after the notes scene here, we are essentially getting a story of Jimmy Uso just on the outside of the WrestleMania scene looking in. You got the story of Solo Sikoa and LA Knight, and you've already got Fatu Strowman set up, and that's got the most, it's got the most kind of momentum and intrigue just because it's the story that's been building. Whilst it more feels like Solo and LA Knight are about to collide in what I'll call, oh, we didn't really know what to do for either of you at WrestleMania, so I guess we'll do this. It's got that feel to it. It's two stars they want to feature, they want to have on the show, but they don't actually have a plan for. So, like, you know what? Things have actually settled relatively well. We can put them in here. And this segment did a really good job of directing us in that way. It can make it feel more personal by interjecting Jimmy Uso into it in some way, especially since Jimmy and LA Knight were dancing in the Elimination Chamber qualifying runs as well. There's stuff to dance there with. That said, for me, that was the absolute hot point of SmackDown. A relatively standard, fun enough, a six-man tag that the crowd were going crazy for to every single beat. The rest of the show, like, it's fine. But with having the tag team titles main event, that meant you could spread your biggest stars throughout the middle of the show. So the normal lore that we'd have if you're playing WWE GM mode on the new WWE 2K game. In the middle, you're meant to have your kind of like lesser matches or whatever. That meant that this SmackDown, in their, what I'll call its lesser segments, still had big stars and still were putting over the bigger matches, whilst it used either end to set up new stuff, be that the IC title scene or the tag team title scene. They were the bookends of the show, were those lesser titles. In the middle, you got all your main event bigger matches. You got Tiffany Stratton, Charlotte Flair, you got Cody Rhodes in there too, you got Randy Orton setting up his Kevin Owens stuff. Like, the biggest matches were in that lull in a way, which meant that the middle of SmackDown didn't feel as big of a lull as it normally is, because it's your biggest stars, it's your biggest storylines, like, carrying that momentum through. It was just a flow that we never got in the past era. It's not that I'm saying that it's the best flow in the world or something, but especially on a weekly show, it's nice to see a rotation like that, just to see that those spots can be given to people other than the biggest stars. But on a weekly show, like, why not have the tag titles main event? Why not open setting up an IC title scene or your big monster brawl? So let's jump through those kind of like middle of the show segments. The first one I'll talk about is Miz TV, Cody Rhodes, the guest star. Stratton Flair had a brawl after the Charlotte Flair vs. B-Fab match, which I'll mention a bit later in the other notes. But they continued their brawl on out from the segment prior, back out onto the stage when Miz tried to speak. The commentary shouting, "We've got a blonde bash in Barcelona." Picture perfect swanton off the Tron for the crowd going crazy, and then the Miz gets to react to it. It's like, oh boy, wasn't that exciting? Or however people from Ohio speak. I can't do it. I don't know how Ohio acts. The crowd absolutely loved it. Not my accent, the swanton. And yes, talk shows in WWE, to me now, they do feel like an outdated trope of the previous era. They feel archaic in a way. But doesn't that just describe the Miz perfectly? He's a man of a bygone era who's still doing the shtick of that time. If there's one thing I'm really happy to kind of seen died away in the Triple H era, as he takes things to be a little bit more serious and a bit more metal. Oh yeah, long sweaty air motorbikes. Oh. Talk shows dying is something I'm absolutely fine with. I've always found talk shows in wrestling just so cheesy, so corny, and kind of just seeing them just fade to the background, haven't missed them at all. Because sure, you might expect them to be dialed back a bit, but for there to be just so few, it's just nice. But this segment being Miz TV, it gave a format to Cody for being on the show, a chance for the crowd to sing every lyric of his theme, beat up the Miz for stopping the whoa from happening, and for commentary to remind us of John Cena's radio silence ahead of Raw. But yeah, it's just a very, very easy way just to get someone in the ring for Cody Rhodes to beat up and for just remind us ahead of Monday Night Raw what's about to happen. Not really the craziest segment. Really, the Flair and Stratton stuff was the more right home stuff, because this was mainly just a promotion for Monday. Randy Orton versus Carmelo Hayes was another part in the middle of the show. Randy Pandy's first match back was another opportunity to sing. Not that Western Europe has any country that turns down an opportunity to sing. Melo springboarding and bouncing, the absolute perfect lad for Orton to face in a return bout. The back springboard caught and span with the patented power slam looked great. Plus, Melo has a ton of head and neck based offense for Randy to go, "Urgh," after taking. RKO out of nowhere, mid back and forth tussle, a second for good measure after the baddie disrespect, a third ass for the crowd. Instead, they got the tease of a punt. With that on the plate, Kevin Owens, first sighting since the chamber, dragged Melo out of the ring. But it was a return played differently from the norm. KO, not fit for a fight, immediately tried to scram and took the first opportunity he could to get out of there. It feels like these little notes like that, where Kevin Owens isn't fit for the fight and he doesn't want to get anywhere near Randy Orton, can play that up into being scared of Randy Orton as well. They're just in a really good place at the moment where all they need to do is just continue these little notes and bubbles because they've played all the bigger stuff. This can happily just bubble in the background. We know we're going to get Kevin Owens, Randy Orton at WrestleMania. Bring it into focus in some of those later weeks. It doesn't need to be that. Like, the IC title and the tag team title definitely needed a lot more attention because they don't have momentum going into this WrestleMania season whilst this immediately does. And this isn't a main event match. So if it's like Cody Rhodes, John Cena, and you're not giving them the time, it's like, that's a bit more of a worry. That you give time to. This is like, it's a personal heated feud. You can have little moments like this. That's absolutely all right. So swiftly into the other notes. Being in Europe means I actually know the sports stars. Barcelona's star Lamine Yamal, a great example of somebody I actually know. Sure, he looks about 12, but I do know who he is. A teaser video of a stock smoke effect over a black background played, then in faded in the number 4. Jade Cargill got an interview pre-recorded in the empty arena, confirming all the beats and settings up for all of the drama of the attack on Naomi last week. The interview was interrupted by Liv and Raquel, because they were the two being blamed. Paul Heyman got to promote the video game. He kept saying over and over again, he's a man of a certain age. I normally buy one of the WWE 2K games like every 4 years, but then we got last year's game on PlayStation Plus, so I don't know if that counts as towards my personal rhythm. I shouldn't be buying one till 2026, but I've got 24. Does that mean I go to 28? But I didn't buy it. It was on PlayStation Plus. Sure, but PlayStation Plus like costs like 60 quid, so that's not free. But anyway, it's a debate I have to have for myself and not on air. His promo got booed when he said Roman is set for the next week in Italy, saying, it's not like Mussolini's there to stop you crossing the border. It's like, topical coming from an American right now. Also, EU citizens are grand to travel between each other, stronger together and all that. Even though I'm a UK citizen, I'm eligible for an Irish passport, so your man's got EU travel privileges, baby. A half-Spanish promo from B-Fab ahead of her being Charlotte Flair's wee little showcase match. A wee hope spot, but quickly into the figure eight and not let go to summon out Tiffany Stratton. Like, this and Gunther Jey-Uso continue to be booked practically identically. But this did build up into the Swanton thing, which bled into the Miz TV segment as well. Drew McIntyre got a VTR play directly to camera on Damian Priest. Then Priest talked to Aldis and Nakas nearby, a little Spanish and a little match, which was a staging for McIntyre to get in his beating. Our World Heavyweight Champion Gunther played the other sports team is better promo to get the heat and inform everyone about A-Kid / Axiom. But it's sports heat I actually get. I actually understand Barcelona Real Madrid. It means something to me compared to every single sports team in America, which means absolutely nothing. Giving the crowd their local lad to cheer and smartly pairing him with a familiar dance partner. Axiom got his hot flow after the break, the crowd so up for the hope spots, then so loud after the dropkick powerbomb from the Austrian was kicked out of. I don't watch NXT, so I went at Axiom's golden ratio finisher, which is basically a running flying super duper kick. Don't worry, Gunther went into serious mode and just clobbered the man to death for the win. The crowd are so conditioned to the flow that Gunther choking out Axiom got cheered because in their mind that meant, oh, it's Jey Uso time. So, you know, it's wise for no Jey at this time. Prove you've done it too much. Time to play with that rhythm. This time Gunther just chokes the Spaniard out. Like, it's fine. Absolutely fine. Jey Uso can't save everybody. And that was Friday Night SmackDown. I'd call it, if this aired in America, I'd just call it a competent building show. Nice to see a rotation of your mid-card stuff, main eventing and opening the show with your big lads in the middle. However, the fact that it is, other than that, it's a very, very standard episode of SmackDown. One of those ones which would be absolutely fine to skip if you're like, don't feel like tuning in every single week on the road to WrestleMania. Absolutely fine to. Apart from the fact that the Spanish crowd were incredibly loud all night, just like the fans were in France for Backlash, just like the fans were in Germany, just singing and having an amazing time, reacting to everything. They're like perfect crowds for WWE. It's not just making noise and getting themselves over. Like they say, talking about with the opening tag match, they're cheering and they're booing like the heroes and the villains respectively. They're in on everything. It's like a perfect crowd. And Belgium's exactly the same. So it's almost like two different reviews of the show. All the stuff around the Spanish crowd and the way they elevate the show, amazing. Production did a really good job of just elevating all of that as well. The actual show itself, like, it's a perfectly fine building block show. Nice to see the rotation rotation of the mid-card titles put to the opener and the closer. But aside from that, standard show. So anyway, let's jump on over to Monday Night Raw, live from Brussels, Belgium, live on Netflix with all the production, all of the drones. So let's jump on over to, I was trying to remember the factoids of from the WWE graphic they had for Belgium to explain what Brussels is to Americans. I think they just, when I saw the chocolate one, I was like, of course they say it's the chocolate capital of the world. So let's go with that. Let's go to Chocolate City. They don't want me to call it. Go to Chocolate Town for Monday Night Raw.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So this is the 1 hour 48 minutes edited and trimmed down version in the land of Kevin De Bruyne and delicious chocolate. It's WWE's first live show from the nation as they continue Nick Khan's push to actually be world. It's all about perception, and these little shows do an amazing job of boosting that perception of being like a global hot white product. And speaking of, heel wabadoo, it's John Cena. No holding about, opening the show with what everyone was there to see. And yeah, why change the music when the fans already know to sing John Cena sucks? Won't lie, there was something nice about hearing it sung in the tone of the Belgian accent. The last time is now, and in the last vestige of a Vince-era star, it was time for the new belly to cut a "you people" promo, smartly recognising that if he just says his Twitter motivational posts in real life, then crowds would just tell him to "shut up, you twat." He opened the promo with something he'd actually said on Twitter earlier in that day. "I have been the victim of an abusive relationship. I am not a babyface. I am not a heel. I am a human being. Every one of you has been awful to me. It's all the fans' fault. Whatever he did was not enough." Using the chance to prove his point, fans in Belgium going "shut the fuck up" and "hey, hey, hey, goodbye. You don't get a new look. You dress like me. I don't dress like you schmucks. You don't get new music. All you get is a long, hard look in the mirror." Met with "we want Cody," as all of this is a perfect setup for the lad to speak for the fans, and it seems to be working as a treat in that arena. I did also genuinely like him ripping into the "let's go Cena" people in their John Cena merch and asking what have they done for him. "You've made me part of a stupid invisible joke and it was never funny." Amazing cut to a kid decked out all in Cena merch as the man ends the relationship. Then it's time for Cody Rhodes. In terms of like the actual content of the Cena promo itself, I'm in a weird midway point where I technically like the beats it's doing, if not the execution. Because I think one of the things I'm going to be constantly coming up with, this isn't the Cena I like wanting to turn heel. I was perfectly fine for the version of Cena that was, the respected version. It was the Super Cena that I wanted to see turn heel. As I was saying last week, I don't think it would have actually like helped anything just because the writing was shit at the time. Like, I'm not really sure heel turn for Cena like would have massively helped. Just the writing would have still been shit. It still would have been shit. He still would have been on top of the same Super Cena, just now in a different version of the character. I don't really think it would have made that big a difference. But now he's this respected guy, so seeing him turn heel, I like the notes for this specific story and the way that it's setting up Cody, but I do find it difficult to actually believe the John Cena character saying this stuff. And I don't mean that in a, "oh, I can't believe he's saying this stuff." I mean that in a, I'm not actually invested in his character arc, weirdly. Like, sure, I can like look ahead and see that it's possibly going to be like him turning on the fans, and then by the end of it, he's going to, we'll mend the fences by the end of the year or by the end of whatever run this ends up being. The way I'm seeing this is for a setup for the Cody character. And for me, all of those notes work. It's just for personally for John Cena, even though some of these things felt like stuff that he possibly could have been holding on to for a little while, I didn't actually believe it. I wasn't sitting there believing I was watching somebody like vent or whatever. Like, CM Punk's always really good at dancing that line. It never felt like a line was ever danced with this one. Like, sure, but maybe it's just the fact that it's the same John Cena, and whenever John Cena cuts a promo in wrestling, it almost has the same effect. As you can see by the crowd reactions in this, there were younger kids decked out in John Cena merch still, and they had big reactions. Some of them just amazing for the cameras to cut to. Then I sit there and I'm being like, well, I like that nerdy reaction of, I appreciate the beats, but I don't actually believe the performance performance that's happening. I'm not getting invested into it, really. I'm more going, oh, yeah, that's a nice line. Oh, yeah, that's that works. I'm not, like, in. I'm not, like, invested into it. Cody comes out, and I'm right in there, and I believe everything that he's giving to me. So that's why I'm kind of split, where I do actually like the beats. But I didn't believe the performance. I wasn't there. I'm not believing the guy himself doing any of this stuff. I don't know if it was because it, in a way, kind of feels a bit safe. But that also, technically, I immediately was able to do a little patch and go, yeah, but I like that just because that makes him feel like that last kind of shining star of the previous era. Like, stuff like this would have been how it would have been written back then. Just a bit shit. It's just, in a way, it makes him feel even more of a representation of the era that he was the leader for. So let's jump to the current leader, Cody Rhodes. Wrestling has more than one royal family, played right as John said, and there's nothing you can say, nothing you can do, because you know I am right and you are wrong. Right on cue, there's Cody to represent the crowd with things to say and things to do. Who the hell are you? Where's the guy on this shirt? Instead, I got this. Well, this better not show up at WrestleMania. Go find John Cena, because I want to face him at WrestleMania 41, not this wily bitch. The crowd all as one sang Cody's name, something they never did for John Cena, taking the piss and all waving as they sang Hey 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 Goodbye, with the production staying on Cena in the aftermath. Really enjoyed this, especially as the crowd all as one were just chanting for Cody, and John Cena always got the dueling chants. He never had that all-together love that Cody Rhodes seems to get from these crowds, and just putting that on full display, then staying on John Cena afterwards, I thought was a really good touch. Just a nice little look into what's actually getting to him. And I like that idea where it is trackable, where the moment he kind of snaps is when he loses the Royal Rumble. Because it's like when John Cena says all this stuff and he hypes up and he says he's going to do the thing, he normally would then go on and actually win the Royal Rumble or actually have this big moment. And perhaps the Royal Rumble was his breaking moment. That was when the character had his snap. And Elimination Chamber, the opportunity presented itself. Michael Cole then, given the time to rant as the big Cena fan he always was, the go ahead to say bitch again, which really doesn't need to be bleeped out on the global edit Netflix. It's really not a thing for us. So yeah, segment on Caught in Two Minds 4. It did a good job of making it feel like a big deal. Good job in playing the beats I want to see played to it. But they get a second stab at the performance in Glasgow, Scotland. Sorry, I said it wrong. In Glasgow, Scotland. Is that all right, mate? Glasgow. That's why I'm caught. I like what it's setting up. So really, it's a positive for the building up of a road to WrestleMania. And maybe this is just a reminder of why I partly didn't like the Cena character. Maybe it wasn't just the crap writing he was given, of which he was given. But anyway, let's jump on over to the rest of Monday Night Raw, which was a very much similar notes to SmackDown. The biggest attraction of the week, the John Cena heel turn, the first time we're going to get to see him in any form since the moment at the Elimination Chamber. But similar notes to SmackDown, where it's almost like a building block Raw, and it's like the rest of the show, you just kind of skip it. Like, it's fine. Like, you can watch the John Cena promo on YouTube. You don't need to tune into this show. Women's World Championship contract signing, Bianca Belair and Io Sky and Rhea Ripley. Like, I've put this second, but this came in quite late in the show. Contract signed. All without any trouble, words shared between the amicable competitors Bianca Belair and Io Sky. This is my brutality played on Titantron, all breaking down as Io had enough of Rhea and Bianca's arguing. Accidental Bianca hand to Io's face. On purpose, Rhea Ripley headbutts to Bianca. Powerbomb onto the table, which doesn't break, but it still looked good, so all grand. Ripley then signed the contract too and took it backstage with her as Pierce chased, shouting, "Give it back!" And Cole went really strong on commentary about how that's clearly not an official way to put yourself into a title match. Like, it's not going to be. You're not suddenly in the match. That's not how contracts work. Like, Rhea taking the initiative and forcing herself into this match, like, that feels a little bit closer to the Ripley character I was talking about. I felt like this was a better way. We've had 2 weeks of notes which work for the story but not necessarily for the character I've come to know. This was a bit closer for bringing the two together, like hitting the notes they want for the story but also doing it in a way that's a bit closer to how the Ripley character would actually do it. Still, they've become a little bit of a fan in the past few weeks of trying to build that animosity in a women's match by having them shout and bicker at each other, which I put a little sign up on that last week saying, just keep a note on this, just to see if this becomes a thing that continues. The main event was for the Intercontinental Championship, Bron Breakker versus Finn Balor. or Finbleur going by his titantron. Like, hey, better than fuck. It's better than that. It's better than that. We're off the air in 10 minutes, which is arguably the perfect amount for a breaker main event where he gets to charge around for a bit, but not too long of a bit. Lots of woofing as Balor talked shit and poked the suplex bear after the ad break. One overhead toss later and Judgment friend Dom and Carlito ran up to ringside. Like, hey, it gave the crowd something to chant as Balor slowly heel stompy stomped. Breaker's breakneck speed always gets such a reaction. No one in WWE runs the ropes like him. This is awesome after the dive off the apron crashed over the announce desk. Breaker has such a great collection of big reaction spots at the moment. Back and forth flow with production cutting to Dom after each beat. In the end, Carlito interference successfully distracted the referee, but Dom's rope hang both got Bron, but more so Balor, with the Irishman Dick First up on the corner. Post-match Judgment beatings brought out Penta and we got our Intercontinental Championship stare down to end the show. It was a fine match, and then Judgment Day. Yeah, it's not really a main event I'm going to remember. I like the way that the scene is going, but obviously it was your typical Judgment Day flow. Think the good guy gets some momentum, baddies come on out, and you get a schmozzy, distraction-y, finishy thing, and it ends related to whatever schmozzy thing happens, and in this case, it's Balor getting draped, and the arguments continue for Balor and Dom. On to the other notes. Seth Rollins was out to address last week. The crowd sang the song, applauded, and then sang it again. Like, hey, I was behind on my notes, so for me personally, it was appreciated. The man only got two lines in before they started singing again. Like, Brussels were in the mood for a song. The CM Punk chants helped steer the segment back onto the road, driving into Roman Reigns and the lovely coincidence that both the OTC and Punk will be on Smackers in Bologna, Italy. Basically, a promotional bit for Friday, similar to what the Cody thing with Miz TV was. A little hype up for the title match main event as well from Seth Rollins. We've got a great main event coming up for you guys. Like, come on, Seth. Come on, Seth. You're trying to let me take you seriously in this heated feud. Like, come on, get out of here. A little cheer for Ludwig Kaiser when the crowd thought he was going to be gone for a second. Kaiser, the German, faced Penta, a no-holds-barred affair with chairs and announce desk fun. A wee showcase ahead of the shiny new Luchador's icy step-up post-main event. An important note was that Penta was Dom's suggestion as a potential Judgment Day partner, and which was seen as a betrayal by Finn backstage, which then feeds into the main event. After the Cena-Cody segment took half an hour, there was only 1 hour 15 minutes left on this edited version. If you simply must watch, wait till Wednesday for the edit. Like, seeing there was only that amount of time left, and I'm just like, oh, if I'd watched this, like, proper, I would have been looking staring down the barrel of 2 more hours, but, like, 1 hour 15? This is where all of the ad breaks are going to be as well, like, and they're all cut out, so it's nice and swift. Like, yeah, far better. Gunter bumped into Jay at the Gorilla entrance, ahead of Uso facing Austin Theory, which had all of its time cut. Apparently, the reports were it's meant to go 10 minutes or so, and yep, something happened. The time was lost. Perhaps it was just as simple as it was the Cena-Cody segment, but all of the time was lost, and it was just a quick squash in the end. Uso nearly necked himself with the post-match dive. Absolutely fine, but he unsavably just rotated overhead over the apron and down. Gave us the visual of a Gunter run out not working and Jay holding the title for a second. The visuals accomplished. Dakota Kai faced Ivy Nile. The women's IC title continuing to be put across as unimportant, with this working as a staging for Chad Gable's story. Mysterio and Dragon Lee ran on out to get revenge on American Maid. Ivy distracted. Corner kick and GTK for Kai's victory. American Maid then faced Mysterio and Dragon Lee remember him for the masked Gable reveal to pay off. I mean, mystery masked luchador to appear. It's mid-card fun entertainment. I don't know what I've got to be. And Monday Night Raw, which was a building block just as forgettable as the Friday Night SmackDown kind of was in a similar way. The SmackDown one had the book endings, and the Monday Night Raw one had the John Cena opener. But aside from that, you can just watch the Cena promo and just skip it all. But the crowds, my God. Brussels was just as hot as Barcelona. And I expect the exact same from Glasgow. I expect the exact same from Italy. Doing this WrestleMania road stuff in Europe in front of these white-hot crowds, perception-wise, is just an absolute knockout of the park. They've absolutely accomplished just feeding into their own narrative about how great they are. and they can just keep doing that whilst they're doing these European shows ahead of WrestleMania. Their own self-fulfilling prophecy about how amazing I am. Just, when you put it like that, wrestling promotion's always been a bit weird. Anyway, that is the end of the show. I don't know if you can hear my voice going. It was going when I started, so I'm proud that I've stayed as enthusiastic. I need to rest my voice because I'm doing a recording on Saturday. Anyway, with that I say thank you for staying with me for this WrestleMania road. Thank you for liking, engaging in any form, any manner. Always appreciate appreciated, never taken for granted. Thank you for anybody's left a review of any of the shows or whatever, or listens to any of the reviews or interacts in any type of way. Always means the world to us. I'll be back this time next week to be your guy that watches the WWE, so you don't have to. In this period, I'm out here watching every show in spite of all of the exterior stuff that's currently being aligned with the company. And actively, I will say at this point, you don't need to watch these weekly shows, but they are white hot crowds in front of Europe. So anyway, I'll be back this time next week to talk about the continuation of WWE in Europe with Glasgow and with Bologna. So with that, I bid you adieu. Adios.